that, Chris. I wrote down, it says, break every stronghold. Did y'all see that in the song and sing it? Did y'all sing that? There's a recipe for that. It is the name of Jesus. But you know, when you're really trying to break through a stronghold, you know what you got to do to break it? You got to say it. You got to say it out loud. You don't hide it. See, when back in the garden, the first sin, Adam and Eve, they covered and hid. Jesus exposed. Jesus covers the sin by his righteousness, right? It's the first thing we do when we mess up. We want to cover it and hide it. It's what we do, right? But when Jesus comes on the scene, you know what he does? He makes the thing that the devil tells you to hide and cover and put in, he makes it the first line of your testimony. Chris, share the first line of your testimony. So, yeah, see? Hey, Chris, did you ever try to hide that? Did you ever try to hide that fact? Ain't it amazing when Jesus shows up? He'll take the thing that you were most ashamed of and the thing you tried to hide the most, and Jesus will let you put it out on Front Street for everybody to see. And you know what he'll say? If I can do that for him, if I can do that for her, I can do that for you. That's how strongholds are broke. Strongholds are not broke by coming to church, pretending like everything's okay, listening to a sermon, and going home and doing the same stuff you've been doing. That don't break strongholds. That strengthens strongholds. You know what breaks strongholds? When you stand up and say, I'm struggling. I can barely be here. The devil has told me to stay home, to stay away, to not to read, not to pray, not to worship, not to give, not to hear the message, not to apply the message, but just stay away. Some of you, I'm glad through every snare, every pitfall, every problem, and every issue, you came anyway. You showed up anyway. The devil said, I'm going to end you. And you said, I'm going to go down to the potter's house and see what he says about the matter. Some of you need to stop listening to the world and people who are listening to the world, and you need to take a listen to what the potter says. I went up to Dollywood one year. My family, we went up there and we were hanging out, and we ended up going by the potter's house, a little place where they were making pottery. I knew right away, you know how Dollywood is, you move from place to place to place. I got there, and all of a sudden this dude threw a piece of lumpy clay up on a spinny wheel, and all of a sudden he put his hands on it. And I knew from the very second I seen it, I ain't going nowhere. The trip, you can go ride the rides, have the popcorn, see the show, but I will be here until God lets me see the message. The clay is us. And when he throws us on the wheel, we ain't nothing but an old, dirty lump. And then he puts his hands on us. Something that should have never been touched, should have never been held, should have never been formed, should have never been made, but God touches us. If you'll ever say, God, be my Savior, be my Lord, put me on the wheel and put your hands on me. Put your heart on me. Mold me. Make me. Turn me. Change me. Guide me. Love me. Lead me. Speak to me. That man kept spinning that wheel, and you know what I noticed? He didn't pay attention to nobody that was watching. He had the object on the wheel, the piece of clay on the wheel, and he kept spinning it and forming it with his hands. I'm going to preach this. I don't even know what I came to preach. You just mind that, okay? But all of a sudden, every once in a while, Ed, you know what he would do? He would reach over and dip his hands in the water. and then put it back on the clay and shape it some more. I wonder how many times God has got to get that living water and just put a fresh coat on. Amen? Keeps me spinning. Keeps me going. Keeps me on the wheel. And He just keeps on forming me. And every once in a while, He adds the water again. Anybody in here need a fresh douse of the living water? I've been to the well for my salvation. But I love to come back for a drink of Jesus. He is that living water that you'll never thirst again. Then I noticed and I watched Him and He would spin it. He would spin it and I was thinking, man, that thing ain't doing nothing. And all of a sudden He would start folding and it was just a clay. But all of a sudden it started to have, it wasn't right away. I couldn't tell what it was right away, Scott. Is there anybody in here don't know what He's making yet? Glory to God. He just started molding. I'm thinking, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is yet. There's been times in my Christian walk, there are times right now in my Christian walk, I don't know what I'm going to be used for. I don't know what the complete item looks like, but I'm glad I'm just being worked over by Jesus. He started spinning and molding and shaping, and I could start to see that's something, praise God. Some of y'all need to resign to this. That's something that God's going to use. I'm something. I don't know what I am. I don't know how it's going to be, but I do know this. God's using me. You can be mad about it, but I'm on the wheel. You can be mad about it, but I'm under His care. You can be mad about it. You can say, oh, I don't like that kind of vessel. That's all right, because you didn't make me, and you won't break me. Amen. He said, here's the good part. He kept spinning and kept spinning. And the next thing I noticed, all of a sudden, he'd done something amazing. He took one hand, dipped it in some water, and all of a sudden, he took out this little blade. With his left hand still on the vessel, he took his right hand. Good God. I didn't even mean to preach this, Scott. This is just extra. All right? All of a sudden, he took his right hand. He took that little tool that was sharp in his right hand and he dipped it down on the inside, Keith. Not on the outside. Because the outside can look good, but if the inside ain't right, the outside won't matter. Because the outside's what's got to carry the good stuff. I'll take an ugly jar on the outside if it's got something good on the inside. Amen. Some of y'all need to get out of the mirror and get in the Word of God. Because you look good on the outside. Social media says you're beautiful. But praise God, your heart's so far from God, you couldn't find Him with a flashlight or a search warrant. He sticks that in there and all of a sudden he starts, you know what he does? I see him start making his hand. He's still guiding the outside. He's still shaping the outside. But every once in a while, Ed, this is a crude move right here, but he reaches down in, he scrapes away, pulls it out. Oh, Rebecca, you know what he does? Throws it right on the ground. You know what? I guarantee you, some of the stuff that he has scraped out of me, pulled out of me, I was mad because he done it, Donnie, and then I was even more upset because I've seen it laying on the ground, and I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, I like some of that stuff. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. That's who I am too. That's who I am too. God says, yeah, but I don't like that about you. That's not who I want you to be. That's who you are. That's who you were. But that's not who you're going to be. You can't go on with me and keep that stuff. Some of y'all need to resign. I heard the testimonies and it done everything. I love the fact. There's some people in here telling some absolute truths. But I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in this room, you want some truth from your pastor. I only got two jobs here. Two. Here they are. I got to get you to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and Him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's number one job. If you're not saved, I've failed. I have failed. I want to tell you this. Don't come to this church and sit in this church lost as can be. Get saved where you can go into the kingdom of heaven. Number two is for me to help you find your gift and you to operate in it to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Two main jobs. That's the two jobs I'm focused on like a laser right now. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you're my best friend. I don't care if you want to hang out with me. That's got nothing to do with it. Here's what I'm worried about. When you stand before God, I want Him to be able to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. And I want to be able to stand within eyeshot and them look at me and go, He told me the truth. If He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I want them to be able to look over at me and go, but at least He told me. I said this earlier. Listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Everybody in this room, if you're 70, 80 years old, or if you're just a teenager or a young kid in here still hearing my voice, you better equip yourself to follow Jesus. Do not wait on one other person to do it for you. A revival can start in here from one person saying, I repent of my sins, and I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. You can be 8 or you can be 80. If you want to do that, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. I remember when I first got saved. You know what people told me, Ed, when I first got saved? They said this, Kevin, you're going to calm down one of these days. That's what they told me. They said, if you'll calm down, you'll have a big church. If you'll calm down, you'll have a great ministry. If you would calm down and settle down, you would speak in front of some important people. I don't care about important people. I care about an important God. Here's what I care about, whether you know Jesus or not. And here's what I would like. I would like somebody to come alongside of me who's a lot younger than me who says this. Watch out, old man. Watch me do it. I'm sick and tired of watching you adults sit around and talk about a game. Let's play it. I can't wait till somebody says, y'all have sat around and said we are the future of the church. The future is now. Get out of the way. We will do it. We need a boldness. We need a Holy Ghost boldness to come out of this church like there is nothing else. We need some broken teenagers. We need some broken youth who will say, sick and tired of seeing my mama and my daddy, my aunts and my uncles fall apart. I will serve God regardless if they will. Because let me tell you something, young person. It doesn't take an adult to lead you to Christ. Here's what you do. You bow your shoulders and say, from now on, I'm telling the truth. From now on, God is going to be my only help. If everybody in my house ain't going to serve the Lord, but as for me, I will. Have everybody in your family hate you because you love Jesus so much. Have everybody threatening you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Have a heart that says, you know what? You can do whatever you want to do to me. Praise God. At the end, I'm going to still stand up and say Jesus. There's a man I was going to preach about named Jeremiah today. You know what Jeremiah did? Jeremiah, he got sunk down into a prison for so many days, they were worried that he was going to starve to death. This is in your Bible. Rebecca, it's in there. I promise you. 37, 38, go read it. They put him in a prison. They locked him down in the mire, and he was starving to death. And you know what they did? Somebody said, we really need a word from God. Go pull the preacher out of the pit and bring him here. They pulled Jeremiah up out of the pit by some nasty old rags, some rotten clothes. Man, I wish I could preach in rotten clothes all the time. He walks in there, covered in mud and mire and muck, starving to death. You know what they said, Charlie? What's going to happen? Give us a word from God. What's going to happen? Are we going to prevail over this enemy and live here forever? Or are we going to go into captivity? Charlie, starving to death, beaten, unrecognizable, muddy, and knowing his future is probably going to end up back in that pit if he preaches the same God he's always been preaching. Jeremiah's ministry was 40 years. He preached, he used illustration, he used thus saith the Lord, and guess what? That got him in the pit. And the very moment, old frail Jeremiah pulled him back up there and they said, Jeremiah, are we going to get out of this thing? You know what he said? The Chaldeans and Nebuchadnezzar is going to take over the kingdom, and you're going to go into captivity. Anybody that goes after them will live in the Chaldeans, and everybody that fights against them are going to die. Do you know I can put you back in the pit? Ariel, I'd rather be in the pit with Jesus than in the palace without him. I would. I'd rather everybody hate me and me be with Jesus than to everybody like you. And Jesus don't. Some of y'all need to ruin your life with Jesus. They take that scraper. Take the scraper out. I hate the scraper. You know what I hate worse than the scraper, though? They got it looking good. You ever felt like you're doing good as a Christian? I do all the time. Jesse, all the time I think, man, I'm good. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. God's not scraping everything out of my life. I'm good. But I notice what else he does. I'm sitting there watching this thing. You know what he does? He takes it off the wheel. I'm like, all right, finally off the wheel. We graduated, right, Joey? Charlie, you know where he's heading now? The oven. Walks it right over this thing, reading about 15,000 degrees. Puts it on a little serving tray-like thing. Little. God, I wish y'all'd help me. Have you ever been there? God, thank you for shaping me. Thank you for molding me. God, you're awesome. You're blessed, man. You're awesome. And all of a sudden, God, where are we going? Hey, where are we going? Hey, will you put me back on the wheel where you're sprinkling the water and rubbing me? And, you know, I'll even take some of that scraping. But it's getting hot. Why are you opening that? God damn it. Why are you opening that door? That's not the door I want. Man, I want a cool ministry. I want to do fun stuff. I want somebody to like me. That looks like a fiery pit to me. Hey, Jesus, what are you doing? This is for you, buddy. What? See, the heat's where the thing's made. If you can't handle the heat, then maybe you ain't even saved. Because if you can't handle the heat that God puts on you, how are you going to handle the heat of hell? Amen? I love this stuff. He put it in there, and he closed the door, and he just walked off. Debbie, guess what he did? He walked off and started working on somebody else. Got him another lump. Started working on somebody else. I'm over there in the oven screaming, God, don't you know what's going on in here? I do, but I ain't just working on you. Ministry, church, Jesus, it ain't about you only. Imagine that. God's using every mistake, every failure, everything to work on you and to work on everybody else. All of a sudden, he waited a little while. He worked for about 30, 40 minutes. I'm still standing there. Yeah, I want popcorn. Yeah, I want to watch a show. Yeah, I want to enjoy my family. But God's given me a visual like he's given you one this morning. All of a sudden, he stops working on that for a minute. You know what he does? Goes over to the oven, Charlie. Opens her up. Peeks in. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Golly, y'all are so cool. Y'all are. I'm telling you. I'm kind of getting fed. See, this is, I'm being honest. Yo, I'm good. I ask everybody in this church, how you doing? I'm good. You ain't mourning. You ain't grieving. You ain't bitter. You ain't mad. You ain't upset. You ain't mad at the preacher. You ain't mad at your other congregation. Y'all know we're all good. But the minute you leave here, all hell breaks loose. Man, I've been in that oven. Man, I've been in there as soon as he opens the door. I'm like, get me out of here. It stinks. God rescue me. Get me out of here. I guarantee when he hears that, he probably just shuts the door. If you'd stop talking and start listening, 90% of the time you're talking to God and telling God what you're going to do. That's why he just leaves you in the fire. But then this is my favorite part. God, I think God does this to me like on a regular. Opens the door, pulls me completely out of the fire, and I'm praising him. Thank you, Jesus. That storm's over. That situation's done. And all of a sudden, he looks at me and thumps me. That's what he did. He thumped it. And you know what happened when he thumped it? Didn't make the right noise. Didn't sing the right song. Some of y'all need to learn how to praise God when you're getting thumped, instead of waiting to some other day in mystery land when you're going to praise Him when you get there. Whenever I have a good day, I'm going to praise Him. Why don't you praise Him through the storm? Maybe the good day will show up right then. Amen. Paul and Silas said at the midnight hour, they began to worship and praise Him. Maybe they just said, you know what, this ain't a good day, but we can turn it into one if we just go ahead and praise Him through it. All of a sudden, He thumps you. And if you don't sing the right song, you know what He does? Opens the door, puts you back in, shuts the door, and says, cook a little longer. Cook. Get ready. And you know what I'm grateful for? Every bit of that. Every bit of that. God's making me into what He wants me to be, and His process is perfect. My process was terrible. That when I tried to make my own life, I always end up in the worst places doing the worst thing with the worst people. But when God's working on me, it's amazing. It feels lonely a little bit, but then it feels like you got everybody you need too. Do you know what He does? Golly, are y'all all right? Are we all right? What's this right here? You know what He does next? He pulls you out and goes, you know what? Thumps you, sings the right song. God, I don't care. Put me back in the fire if you want to. Praise God, I'm with you. Amen. Whatever you want to do. If you're going to get glory of me in the fire, put me in the fire. If you want to hold me, if you want to put water in me, you want to put juice in me, pray God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know what He does then? He takes you over to another place and lets you cool off. Woo! Then you get hardened up a little bit. Praise God, we need some Christians that are hardened up. We got so many people trying to quit. If they hurt my feelings, I'm quitting. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave if they quit. Praise God, make up your mind in everything in your life. I'm going to finish well. You couldn't run me off with claymore mines, machine guns, hand grenades. You ain't going to get rid of me. I'm going to hang in here like a hair in a hamburger. Sorry about that. I ruined your lunch. Praise God. All of a sudden, you know what they do? Take a minute to let you cool down. You're like, all right, praise God. You know what they do? Go in there. They start shining you up, painting you up. Next thing you know, praise God, you look around. Rebecca, you look around. You're like, man, there's some good-looking vessels in here. They put you on the shelf right next to, praise God, right next to some other good-looking vessels. And you're looking at them. You're like, man, that's an awesome vessel. You ever done that? You're sitting on the shelf this morning with them. You're looking, oh man, that's a good that's a good container. That old Scott, man, he's got talent. Boy, he got gear. That's a good vest. Oh, hey, man, he is. Man, I wish I was like him. You know what though? God made you. He put you in that same room on that same shelf, and you got a purpose. You know what? One day he's gonna come in, and they're gonna pick you. You know what you're gonna go do? You're going to go serve other people. You know what they're going to say? Man, there's a good vessel. You know what? Whoever made that, that's brought refreshment. That's brought peace. That's brought joy. That's brought love into my life. Some of y'all are saved as you can be. You know what you need to start doing right now? You need to see, God, I'm sick and tired of sitting on the sideline. Let me be used in an honorary vessel for you. And you know how you're going to do that? Let me serve you, God, and let me serve other people. That's what you made me for. That's what you made me for. Let's all stand as they come get a song. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.